short microphone. That might have been too short, though. Okay, that's better. Hi, everybody. My name is Amanda, and I am in recovery for mental illness, abuse, sexual assault, anger management, trust issues, paranoia. There's kind of a laundry list of things out there. And I am going to talk to you all tonight about something that I think is very important, something that we've needed to talk about in the church for a long time. That's something that's been either ignored or people just aren't really comfortable talking about it. But we need to talk about the way that we talk to people who have mental illness or experienced trauma. And before I delve into this, I would like to give you a little bit of a background into my own struggle with mental illness and trauma. And then I'll get into the points that I have. Very short, just 4 points. I wasn't really super prepared for this. Okay, so my battle started when I was 15 years old and I made my first suicide attempt. And when my parents found out, they put me in therapy. And thus began my now 11-year journey through the mental health system. Which, if anybody else in here is going or has gone through the mental health system in this country, you know how extremely frustrating it is and can be. I've received multiple diagnoses over the years. I have major depression, anxiety, social anxiety, OCD, ADHD, panic disorder. Also, there is a possibility that I might also have Asperger's syndrome, but that's never been confirmed. My mother and I were talking about that at lunch today. I went and met them, and I asked them, I said, have I been like this my whole life? Have I always been so weirdly sensitive to everything? Is that just one of those facets of my personality? And she said, yes, that's always been there. See, I don't remember a lot of my childhood, so I thought I would ask because, you know, it's something that has always fascinated me, you know, the experiences that we have in childhood develop and shape who we become as adults. But sometimes we're just born with things that are outside of our control. You know, we can't help it. Or things happen to us that we can't control or that we don't understand, or people do things to us, they hurt us, they don't take care of us in the way that we needed to be taken care of. And so mental illness and trauma are a very, very prevalent part of not just our society as a whole, but also within the church. So throughout an 11-year journey, I've gotten multiple diagnoses. I've been on and off more medications than I can remember. I have seen total of 6 therapists and 4 doctors now, and it's much better than it was. It's much more well controlled than it was, so I'm very grateful for that. But I wanted to talk about the way that we talk to each other about these things. And the reason why I chose to bring this up was mainly because of an experience I had when I was in college. I had gone to dinner with somebody that lived in my dorm, and he was a very, very vocal Christian. I was not at the time. I'm not the kind of person to, you know, stand up on the rooftops and, you know, screaming and waving your arms and doing all that stuff. I'm quiet. That's the way that I am. And anyways, we were at dinner. He wanted to pray over the food. I said I wasn't comfortable with that because of my anxiety. And I will never forget what he said to me in return. Your anxiety is a weakness of your faith. And I was shocked and I didn't know what to say because I knew that my condition was pretty much out of my control. You know, I can't control when the anxiety happens. I can control what a little bit of what triggers it, but, you know, I can't avoid every public place and interaction because of it. You know, I want to actually have a life. So, with that being said, I would like to go through a few points that people in the church should understand when you are speaking with and interacting with people who are experiencing major trauma, mental illness, or sometimes both. This could include rape, sexual assault, post-traumatic stress, losing a loved one, somebody who struggles with depression, alcoholism, drug abuse, just anybody that falls into that category. The first point that I want to touch on is just to reach out to people. This is something that I think a lot of people in the church are not comfortable with because if they've never experienced it, it can be very difficult to talk about it. It can be difficult to know what to say. You know, you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, but you obviously know we feel compelled to say things that we think will make people feel better. Because, you know, if somebody's sad, you know, what's your first instinct? You want to cheer them up, make them feel good. But when it comes to mental illness and trauma, a handful of words sometimes just doesn't do it. You have to be willing to reach out of your comfort zone sometimes, get your hands dirty, and actually go to somebody who you've seen maybe struggling, or you're not sure if they're struggling, or they don't want to talk about it, or something happened to them. Just go to them and say, "Are you okay? Do you want to talk about it? Is there anything that I can do for you? You know, do you need me to help you with, you know, groceries or, you know, taking your kids to school or things of that nature?" Because when we're in the midst of suffering, we don't always take care of ourselves. So it's important to have people who are willing to reach out and just put their arms around you and let you know that you're not alone in those moments. Even if we don't feel like talking about it at that moment, then just knowing that somebody is there is so important. So important. But I will say this about reaching out to people, and that is to be very careful of your motives for reaching out to them. It's really, really easy for people to say, "Oh, I understand, I'm there for you, it's okay." But if you're not interested in doing the actual work of loving on somebody and being there for them, even in the ugly moments, like the really ugly moments, you have to sit down and look at yourself and question, am I doing this out of love or am I doing this to validate myself, to try and make myself feel better? And the second point that I'm going to jump into, and this is so important, especially in the modern culture that we live in. You know, we've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, God knows what else out there now. And so we communicate through technology primarily anymore. And my second point is stop turning our pain into a hashtag. I know it's easy, I know it's convenient. Somebody posts on Facebook that they're struggling right now, they could really use, you know, good thoughts, prayers, you know, whatever they need at the time. And it's so easy for us to just spout off a cliche or a Bible verse, or, you know, it's easy for you to hashtag my thoughts and prayers are with you during this time, but are they really? If they're not really there, you know, what are you doing? It's just another form of self-validation. You're trying to make yourself feel better instead of having genuine concern for the other person. You know, people who have suffered trauma, people who have gone through mental illness, we're just as human as the rest of you. We might struggle a little bit more, but we're just as human. We have feelings. And it's really easy for those feelings to get hurt by someone leaving a well-intentioned but insensitive comment about the situation. Be very, very, very mindful of your words and your intentions when saying them when somebody is hurting. Because it will always stick with me, that moment in that restaurant, hearing him say that my anxiety was somehow my fault because I didn't pray hard enough, or I wasn't more in touch with God, or I wasn't reading my Bible, or I wasn't in church every Sunday. This was at a time in my life when I wanted almost nothing to do with the church. I had been hurt by various groups of people within the church. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be involved. And hearing comments like that only cemented to me that I didn't belong here. And it wasn't until I discovered this group that I realized that there is a place for us within the church. But we have to be willing to work with each other. We have to be willing to get outside our comfort zones, to open doors for people, you know, and it's not just the people that you're friends with. It's easy to do when it's your friends, but people you don't know very well, maybe. There might be people in this room that you don't know very well that could use a kind word or two. And here's another thing that I will point out. If you offer your sympathies and your comfort to one of your friends who is experiencing trauma, but if you go out of your way to be judgmental of the situation of a person that you don't know as well, who might be experiencing the same thing, then you need to go back and look at your motivations and priorities a little bit. And I'm not just speaking about people in this room, I'm speaking about the church as a whole. I didn't want anybody in here to get the idea that I was trying to, like, accuse anyone of bad behavior or anything. Okay. But yeah, mentally ill people are tired of being turned into a hashtag. We're tired of fake platitudes and, you know, cliches and offers of help that go nowhere, and, you know, the phone calls eventually drying up because your friends are tired of dealing with your depression, as has happened to me in the past. Or, you know, the ever-present, well, you don't seem depressed. Well, you don't seem like something bad happened to you. Why don't you smile more often? Yeah. I'm over it. The third point I want to bring up, listen. Sometimes having a listening ear is just the best feeling in the world when you are hurting. You don't have to give me advice on what to do in a bad situation. You don't have to try and offer words when someone is struggling. All you simply have to do is to be present in that moment, just to listen to them. Sometimes God puts you in a position to speak, and sometimes God puts you in a position to listen. So be mindful of those things whenever you are encountering this. But this brings me to my next point. Speak up when it's necessary. If you hear, and this goes for more facets of our society than just dealing with mental illness and trauma, there is still a large stigma out there surrounding mental illness. So a lot of people are afraid to talk about it and are afraid to seek help because they don't want to be perceived as weak or as frail or as, you know, less than they are. Because sometimes that is how society makes you feel when you are struggling. You know, we live in this culture of, you know, pull yourself up and get over it and man up and, you know, get your things done. That kind of attitude doesn't work. It doesn't help. It offers nothing. If you hear somebody, you know, saying these things to someone, or if you notice somebody struggling and, you know, nobody around them has seemed to really listen to them, or even online, if you see comments that are made towards somebody that are hurtful or insensitive to someone who is struggling, don't be afraid to speak up. We cannot, as a church, as a body of faith, afford to be silent about these issues. Because in many cases, silence is just as bad as complicity. I'm not saying you're always going to know what to say. I'm not saying that you have to get in someone's face and be confrontational and scream at them and leave an all caps message on Facebook with multiple exclamation points. But just simply saying, that's not okay. That is not good behavior. That's not the Christian thing to do. That's not what Christ would have responded with. Just simply letting people know that they need to think about what they say before they say it makes a huge difference in breaking down those stigmas and barriers that mentally ill and traumatized people have. And then my last point is just very simple. Just remind us that we are loved. Because we don't always feel loved by the church. We don't always feel like we're accepted. We don't always feel like we belong here. I was a victim of sexual assault at 22 years old, and it took me 3 years before I told anyone about the incident. Because, number one, I blamed myself for it, which is, it's common amongst assault victims. And two, I was not only afraid that people wouldn't believe me, but that somehow, because of certain things that have circulated within the church for a long time, that if you get sexually raped or sexually assaulted, it must be God's punishment to you for having premarital sex or getting involved with that guy that you probably shouldn't have been involved with, or you shouldn't have been dressing that way, etc. So people like me don't always feel like we have a place within the larger church because we hear these things and they get drilled into our heads, you know, by angry people on Facebook and the TV. And, you know, sometimes our friends and family have thrown these nasty words at us. I know some of you in this room have experienced that. But to just remind somebody that they are loved, that they belong, and that they have a place. They have someone that they can talk to. They have, I don't know, to just have the support means the world to people who are hurting, who have experienced trauma, who are dealing with chronic illnesses. Reminds, just be kind to people. Be kind, be cognizant of your words, you know. Tell the people you care about you will love them. Because you never know what little moments might actually save somebody's life. And I wanted to close with a quote from one of my favorite books. It's To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. I first picked up this book in the eighth grade, and I've probably read it a dozen times since then. It's Atticus Finch is talking to his daughter, Scout, in the book about, and if you all know what the book is about, it's about Atticus having to defend a black man who was accused of raping a white woman and all of the turmoil and chaos that comes out of that and how it ended up affecting his children. Atticus is talking to his daughter and he says, sometimes the Bible in the hand of one man is just as bad as a bottle of whiskey in the hand of another. There are people in this world who are so concerned about getting to the next world, they don't pay attention to what's going on around them, and you can look down the street and see the results. I'm not saying that the Bible is bad. I'm saying that, you know, using the Bible to attack somebody is bad. But I use that quote a lot because it reminds me that, you know, people are people. They're human, you know. We're all faulted. We can't change that. It's just another reminder to me of mindfulness and intentions behind your words and your actions. And I am really struggling with what I was going to say next. And I think I just had a massive brain fart. But anyways, I hope that this was helpful for those of you here tonight, and I hope that if you ever need to reach out to somebody, if you ever need to talk about something, if you're ever struggling, or if you've been through a traumatic experience, seek out somebody to talk to. Find somebody that you know will listen to you, that you know will offer you comfort, that you know has good intentions. Just don't hold that inside of you, because that's not healthy. I tried doing that for years. I don't think I have anything else. I think that's it. Okay. All right, I guess that's it. I'm done.